You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill, you might win some, but you just lost one trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray. Did you have, like, a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
Your love of your RV drove you to the Grand Canyon. And your love of the Grand Canyon drove you to the gift shop, where you overdid it just a little. Guess who's getting an I Heart the Grand Canyon t-shirt for their birthday? Everyone. For their next six birthdays. Luckily, your love of your RV also drove you to protect it with Progressive RV Insurance, while wearing your new favorite shirt. Visit Progressive.com to cover the things you love. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Anyone need a shirt?
This is with Giancarlo Navas and Ryan Goins.
Welcome to the Heat Beat Podcast. I'm your host, Giancarlo Navas, and with me today, we have our Heat Twitter president, Alf.
Do I have to say anything?
Say hello or something, man. Why are you so surly today?
I'm not surly. I just never know whether we're introducing ourselves or not.
Let's bring some energy.
It's our second show on Dash. Be more professional.
Come on. We're welcoming in the Dash audience.
I'm Alf. Yay.
I have no idea who you are.
Alf, give your Twitter handle for the new Dash audience. Welcome, Dash Radio audience. We are the Heat Beat Podcast. And Alf, where can people find you?
Okay, on Twitter, you can find me at, because you have to use the at sign on Twitter.
We know that.
I just learned this. Alf954, that's ALF954, and on Instagram at SlapMyFatty.
We have our producer and co-founder, Mr. Brian Goins. How are you, sir?
Hi, guys.
Hi. Brian, do you want to... Yeah, you don't even tweet. We have our professional screw-up, Mr. Alex Toledo.
So mean.
What's up?
Where can people find you?
At Tropical Blanket, if you want to ruin your timeline.
See, he doesn't even have to spell that, Alf, because he doesn't think our audience are...
Yeah, that's such a stupid at, like, at Tropical
Blanket. We did
that
show already.
Okay, now...
Yeah, we did.
Our next guest, you can hear her laughing. I don't know how to say her last name, so she's going to help me. We have Alana. How are you?
Tahauer.
Tahauer?
Yes, the C is silent.
Okay, that's actually a lot easier than I thought. We have Alana Tahauer, and you're in so many places. I know you're 16 wins a ring. Where can people find you? Because you're like you're everywhere.
Yeah, it's a lot. So on Twitter is probably the easiest at just at Alana Tahauer. But I'm on 16 wins a ring. I'm on All You Can Heat and Hoops Habit covering the Chicago Bulls.
Alana is a lot more polished, professional, and better than us. So
I don't know if I'd go that far, but thank you.
Professional for sure. So, okay, so I guess we're going to start in with the Riley press conference. Riley wins every press conference every year. That's his thing. Like, they may not, like, make the playoffs, but he'll win the press conference. He'll lose LeBron and win the press conference. Like,
that's true.
That's Riley's move. And I thought what was most interesting to take away from that was he kind of told us that the free agent market is not what's going to be important for this team. It's going to be trades. And I know that we've been playing, well, what if Gordon Hayward or what if Blake Griffin is upset? But I think he told you the priority is going to be keeping the guys that they have, which I sigh deeply because I'm not, and we talked about this last time. I don't know how much they have, and I don't know, we don't know what's really available out there in trade. So like he starts talking about, we're going to keep our guys. We're not really going to look at free agency as much as you might expect, because they've had, that's their history, free agency and trades. But I don't know, Alana, you took away what from those comments?
I mean, I guess I'm not really that surprised, only because Riley kind of does the unexpected, and I think that's what works for him, and that's how the team gets to be so successful. I mean, even missing the playoffs, you can't really call this season not a success after, you know, the way that they started. And on top of that, I just feel like a lot of times the whole free agency ballpark is just hyped up so much. I'm not particularly a fan of Blake Griffin, for example. I don't want to hear him having anything to do with Miami Heat. I'm not a fan at all.
How dare you?
I'm sorry. I know this is like an unpopular opinion. I think he's super overhyped. But he dunks
so hard.
Yeah, I think he's kind of a one-trick pony. It also irks me that he got Rookie of the Year that year when he was technically a sophomore. I think I'm just holding a grudge for him. He was around the organization for an entire year, and they're going to give him Rookie of the Year. I mean, I don't know. But yeah, I don't know. I think that free agency is not – it shouldn't be as relied upon. But to your point, I'm kind of almost concerned about, you know, in terms of trading, who would the trade be for then?
Because, like, their move has been a disgruntled star somewhere else, right? Shaq, Goran, they have a history of getting guys that are pissed off. Huh? What happened to
him? Paul George.
Jimmy Butler. But you need the pissed off star. And like the pissed off
Jimmy
star
Butler came over.
Is Carmelo. And like that's what you have. Like that's the
you
guy.
Know, that I'd be fine with that. And I know that's also I'm in the minority there.
How dare you?
I know. I'm sorry. I'm just going to get kicked off the show like super early on here. I mean, only because I feel like if anyone can make Melo into what he should have been and has the potential to be, it is the Miami Heat. I feel like the work they've done with like James Johnson and even Deion Waiters is like you can't really compare that to any other organization.
But that's the kind of move he would do, Alf, right? Like that's the guy that they'd look at. Like I think that press conference to me indicated that that's something that they're very interested in.
Well, I don't see how you got that from the press conference, but
because he's saying that he wants to explore trades, and like that's the kind of trade he likes to make.
Yeah, and I mean, I get it, and I think there would be a lot of conversation with Melo before they even pursued anything about, okay, are you ready to get into world class shape? We talked about this on the last podcast. Like, is he ready to fit into a role? Because he's not necessarily going. He will be the best player on this team if he comes here, by reputation, but not necessarily by design, right? So he would have to fit a role here, and is he willing to accept that role? So I think there's a lot of conversation that needs to be had first with Melo, and just overall when you look at it. I think what he's saying, and it just makes sense, and it's he's just looking at the landscape and saying, well, this is the reality of our situation, right? So if this is our reality, what is the best avenue to continue to build a contender and keep looking forward and be flexible? And the best way to do that right now is to just maintain what you have, right? Because these guys have gained a pretty good reputation. They've increased their value, and even if for nothing else, to keep your trade pieces for if a whale or something big does come along, you have the assets to trade.
Alex, I saw you wanted to jump in.
I mean, I wasn't going to say exactly that. Basically, that I thought. I don't think it's a bad idea.
Way to go!
Bringing back. I mean, yeah, I don't think it's a bad idea bringing back JJ and Deion. I don't think it's crazy because. Like he said, I'm not sure how realistic the Gordon Hayward and Blake Griffin stuff is. And you could package some of those guys together because eventually they're going to get too expensive when Jay Rich and Justice hit the market. So it's possible it becomes more likely that they package someone for another player later on.
I feel like what's quietly might happen is Jay Rich is so up and down, But if he has a semblance of a good year next year, his contract expires when TJ's kicks in, right? So that TJ money is going to kick in when Josh Richardson goes to free agency and Winslow, I think, the year after, right? So they're going to have a lot of decisions they're going to have to make with like if they pay James Johnson and they pay Deion Waiters and Winslow becomes any kind of special, if they can't move Tyler or Deion or one of those guys, that might be you might be giving up Justice or Jay Rich if they turn out to be any kind of good.
I know Riley didn't really have much to say on this, but what do you guys think is going to happen with the Bosch money? Because I'm just so curious. Like, they've just been sitting on it.
I think part of that's going to go to Deion. Part of that's going to go to James Johnson, and then they're going to try to – or they absorb a contract, right? I think that that's – because I know we've talked about Gordon Hayward.
I think that's what – I think that – because what do they have outside of that? Outside of
they can get somebody else with that money.
Yeah, like, outside of the Bosch money, they would have like 14 – they have like $14 million, like roughly even with the Bosch money, they got $40 million. Let's say you got to give $12 million to JJ, $14 million to Deion. That's $26 million. You got $14 million left. And then you got to give six to Wayne Ellington, right? And then
a little bit to keep Willie Reed, but I don't know if you want to pay
him. Yeah, you might want to keep Willie Reed, or you might want to go, you know, one of these mid-level guys. Then you also have exceptions. Like, they're going to be able to build a decent team. It's just the people out there that are looking for a whale, like, it just might not happen this summer. I mean, and like, let's say they have to use that Bosch money to sign a guy like Melo, because Melo, yeah, he acquiesced to all the Heat's demands and he's ready to come aboard. You still have enough money to give JJ and Deion something, and then now you have a team, you have the same team as last year, but with an engaged Melo.
And a draft pick.
And is that enough? And the mid-level exception. Like, now you have to ask yourself, is that enough to be a top 3-4 seed in the East and have another fun year? And I think that is.
Because you've maintained this, that you're saying as long as they're kind of competitive and it's fun, you're okay with that.
Yeah.
But I mean, Riley even said, I'm not going to be here for. I know that that's fine.
Yeah, I'm
but,
not Riley, though.
Yeah, but like, what that's not what he's thinking. Like, very clearly put it out saying, I don't know how much longer I don't know how many more non-playoff years I can take. And I know he wants to contend. He doesn't want to be a 4 seed, you know?
See, I think he's happy with making the playoffs.
Alf, at his age, you think he's
happy?
But
here, because I think he's...
He's aging like a fine wine, though. Don't knock Riley.
But yeah, and I think he sees what's happening within his own franchise. Like, he sees that this year, and this is something I wanted to actually kind of bring up on the last pod, like, the transition is happening in front of our eyes. The biggest draw to the Miami Heat right now is no longer Pat Riley. It's Eric Spoelstra. And I think we all can agree upon that. Like, he is the biggest draw. Why would a free agent want to come down to Miami? Is it Pat Riley? No, it's Eric Spoelstra. So that transitioning is already happening. And if you look at Spo, like, what does Spo want? Spo wants young, athletic, multi-positional defender. Like, he wants
Gordon Hayward.
That's what I'm saying. He wants guys that are just that he could plug in anywhere, and he wants the James Johnson types. And you see the transition happening where this team is getting younger and younger and younger. We saw what happened last year with the Luol Deng's, Joe Johnson's, and the Dwayne Wade's, and then they totally transitioned this year. I think we're starting to see that change right in front of our eyes. I think Riley probably has like a year or two left.
I think I'm going to cry when he retires, like, straight up.
Cry?
Like, I'm literally like the biggest Riley supporter you'll ever meet. I'm obsessed.
You're going to pull Gianni?
I cried when Dwayne left.
That's respectable. I think we all cried.
Alf made fun of me.
No, that's not respectable.
Alf made fun of me for crying.
You didn't shed a single tear.
I cried when he came back.
I cried when he came back and when he left. Oh, yeah, Alex, you were with me. Yeah, you didn't cry. I felt so alone.
Nah, man, I was standing in solace.
The tribute video, man. The tribute video got
me. Every single, like, man in that crowd was was trying to hold back tears.
I wasn't. I didn't care, man. I had tears streaming down my hot face. I was so sad.
I could totally see Alf crying at that game, too.
Alf?
No. Yeah, you a damn lie. You know better than that. That ain't happening. And if Dwayne Wade is my favorite, probably at this point, he is my favorite basketball player of all time. and I'm not crying. I think Magic was my favorite basketball player before, and I was like, what, 11 years old when, or 10 years old when he announced his retirement, or when he said he had HIV? And I didn't cry. Gianni's a grown-ass man crying because Dwayne came back to play a basketball
game.
Man,
he came back.
Freaking embarrassing.
Oh, my God. He just compared it to HIV.
Alana brings up a great point. Like, the Riley retirement. That is going to be one of the all-time greatest press conferences ever, right?
My God.
It's gonna go on for 3 hours.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's like a week long.
He's gonna curse a bunch. He cursed the last one. That was great. Brian, do you have sound of his cursing?
No.
Oh man, that was
the feature of his team though. Where
I'm glad we discussed this before the podcast.
I should have asked you. It's such.
Do you have sound of this? No.
Alana, did you see the whole? Did you see the whole press conference?
No, I had to actually read about it on Twitter, which was disappointing, but at least I got the main sound bites there.
Yeah, he totally.
How fast was Barry Jackson doing that report?
Oh, yeah, I mean, I had my entire timeline was just like word for word as he was going.
So he left like these I guess like these cards like that had like some sort of inspirational quote.
Oh yeah, and there was something else on the back, right? They were like two-sided.
And all he's like, he gave them to all the media members. They're all like making a deli line to get the cards. They're all like, "Oh, I want a Riley card."
I'd be at the front of that line. Believe that.
I want the Riley card. Yeah, I want to call out Anthony Chang. Anthony Chang is a friend of the program. He writes for the Palm Beach Post. We asked him to ask some questions of Riley and to get us a forever card, and he refused. Anthony Chang also doesn't give us the media Wi-Fi when we're at the arena. This guy, man. He's the worst.
That's hilarious, actually.
What kind of friend is that? I'm like, Anthony, what's the media Wi-Fi? He's like, no, I can't do that. I was like, what do you mean you can't do that?
We're not media?
No, I was like, come on, we're kind of media.
Still won't give us credentials.
You know what happened? So, Alana, last...
You know what it is? It's my Uptown Dale slander. That's why they won't give us a... They won't give us
this
a
is why we can't get credentials, because you slander... When did you slander Uptown Dale?
I slandered Uptown Dale on, like, the last three podcasts.
Oh, that's right, because you said he wasn't a Heat lifer.
No, and I also said he tucked in a hockey jersey, and I can't respect a man like that.
Alana, do you know who Uptown Dale is?
I've heard that name, yes.
He's, like, the DJ or the hype... What is he's the hype man. Yeah, he's the hype man.
Isn't someone else take over now?
No,
he wears the tightest pants ever.
It's Uptown Dale, and what's the other guy?
DJ Irie.
I think I follow him on Twitter.
DJ Irie is cool. Uptown Dale is not, and UD is going to take over that role when he retires.
UD's gonna be the hype man.
No. Yeah, but he's not gonna move. He's just gonna stand in the middle of the court and say, "Get up," and we're all gonna get up.
Does he literally drink Starbucks before every game? Because two of the games I've seen this season, he literally had Starbucks in hand, and I'm like, "This is a great pregame routine."
UD?
Yeah, I was at the Milwaukee Bucks and Heat game, and he just strolled on like while everyone was doing shoot around, just with a venti Starbucks in his hand.
A venti?
He's not gonna play.
It's
so.
A lot of sugar, man.
Well, we don't know what he's drinking, but.
He's probably got penny.
What are you accusing him of?
No, I'm saying he could just have a black coffee. Is there a sugar in that?
A venti full of whiskey.
Yeah, no, there's a little Hennessy in there. He's not gonna play. He knows better. He's like, ah.
Did I just
why
show?
Not?
Hold on. How white did I sound when I went whiskey and you went Hennessy?
I mean, black people drink whiskey, I believe. Okay. Crown.
He probably does drink Hennessy. The good stuff. Oh my God. Do you guys remember when James Jones had a cafecito on the sideline?
No.
Yeah, he was stirring like a cafe con leche on the sideline.
See, that would literally be me if I was in the NBA. I would just be like wilding on the side.
I remember I used to
I'd be drinking, but not cafe con leche.
I used to do like,
I'd be ordering from the guy, from the little waiter that comes down to the floor seat. I'm like, yo, my man, give me a Crown and ginger. Okay. My fat ass ain't playing.
What if they put you in?
Ronald
garbage stuff. Drank during halftime.
He did?
Yeah, it was like this huge thing that came out later. He was like, oh yeah, we're all just like drinking.
And the Lakers?
I don't know what team it was on now, I forget, but there was this huge reveal that he like accidentally let it out. And
that was on the Bulls.
Oh,
no. It was either the Bulls or the Pacers.
I think it's the Bulls, because I think I heard about it when I was still at Comcast over here.
That's so funny.
But I think it would be the Pacers, because Steven Jackson would be all in on that, right?
That's true. I could see
Steven Jackson would be like the bartender in the locker room.
Yes.
Like, the malice at the palace happened because they were all hammered.
Instead of peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, he's just fixing everyone drinks.
He busts out a mixer and starts shaking.
That's yeah, because the malice at the palace is like, there's a bunch of drunk black guys getting into a fight outside of a club. Christ. Like, that was my 20s. The malice at the palace was my 20s.
You related to that personally?
Yeah, I totally saw that. Somebody throws a cup at me, and now I'm just swinging on random white folk. Like, it happens.
So, no, it's so ironic you said that, because a Detroit fan actually threw something at me at a Bulls game for wearing a Larry Hughes jersey.
Why are people from Detroit so miserable? Why would they do
that? I was like, this doesn't even have to do with you. They literally threw popcorn at me, like, straight at my face.
But why? Really? What did you do?
I just had a Larry Hughes jersey on. They're like, get out of here with that.
You deserved
it. No, I didn't. First of all,
I'm kind of mad at you for a Larry Hughes jersey right now. Like, I'm kind of mad at you right now. And
it's like my most prized possession. Let's be real.
Did you throw the popcorn back at them?
I should have. I wasn't eating Larry popcorn. Otherwise, I would have.
You should have came back with a chair or the broom and the dustpan, like Jamal Tinsley.
Oh my god,
that was the best.
Jamal Tinsley.
He had that dustpan like ready to go.
We don't get any cool. I mean, I think the last almost cool thing that happened was Udonis gonna fight David West.
That was the scariest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Or was it this season or last season when UD, Boogie Cousins, and Matt Barnes all had a meeting?
At the end of the game? James Johnson jumped over Whiteside too.
Oh yeah, that's right. James Johnson.
That was a great moment. He was just taking over UD's role at this point.
He jumped over Hassan to push that guy, to push that Hawk player who I don't remember who that was.
Yeah, you shouldn't mess with the black belts. They're bad.
Prince.
That's the best thing. Like, nobody ever really wants it with James Johnson wants it, right?
Yes.
But nobody ever really wants it with James Johnson. Like, everybody's getting heated. They're pushing, and nobody's actually going to do anything. And then James Johnson shows up. They're like, okay, all right, that's enough.
Yeah, anyone with a neck tattoo that big, you should probably know better.
James Johnson's about that action. Like, he wants to fight.
Like, a 6'8" black belt. Like, what are you supposed to do with that?
Get your ass.
Like, what, are you going to get leverage? He's going to kick your ass.
And I'm pretty sure he's crazy.
Yeah, he doesn't look right.
I'm pretty sure he's crazy.
Neck tattoos. Like, he sat there and someone tattooed his neck. You ain't right.
Well, so did Birdman. And I hear Birdman's like a nice guy who won't fight.
Did you see his haircut when he was at that one game this season?
He looked like such a nice gentleman.
I was so confused. I was like, wait, am I really looking at Chris Anderson right now?
Let him date my sister. Does he still get to be beloved even though he went to Cleveland?
Yes. I love him.
I do. But I'm a little different. Like, Alf, you think he does?
Yeah, Birdman always gets love. Like, and because it was like after the Heat discarded him, so.
Yeah.
What about Mike Miller? Yes.
No, because Mike Miller did the trolling.
The Instagram trolling.
Yeah, he did a little trolling first.
Miller's literally LeBron's number one fan, though, so.
Yeah, he's a little butt boy, so.
But, like, does he get to be beloved in Miami?
I don't hold grudges.
I don't either, but, like, I think we're different. Like, Alf is, like, super petty.
No, I think we hold a little bit of grudge against Mike Miller. No grudge against Birdman. And a huge grudge against James Jones.
Who?
James Jones. Yeah, exactly. Who? Because he's supposed to be like so Miami. And like he was hanging out with LeBron and Ray Allen after the championship. He was on the first freaking thing smoking out of here as soon as LeBron went to Cleveland. And then he sits on the bench with that mad face. Like, dude, shut up. Like,
that mad face.
What are you mad about? Like, because you're not in the game? Like, they'll come back like after an 11-0 run by the other team, and you see James Jones mad. Like, what, you would have done something different? It'd have been 17-0 if you were in the game, you bum.
Did you see this halftime score, by the way, of the Cavs game?
Oh, how much are they down by? Because I left at, like, the end of the first quarter.
They're getting worked. I don't remember because numbers are hard for me, but...
We just let that sit there. Numbers are hard for me, and
if you know me in real life, like,
oh my god,
this is ridiculous.
Oh my god,
74-49.
Like I said, getting work.
We had the same reaction.
They are completely okay with losing this game.
I thought that was a typo.
They are completely okay with losing this game.
Oh my god,
we'll turn it on.
So funny.
At least I thought they were going to make it interesting. Holy crap!
That's holy crap. Did you see the score, Brian?
74-49.
Okay, that's a good segue into Bulls Celtics because I didn't think the Celtics were that great, but I didn't think the Bulls would be up 2-0 going in, and it's not.
Yeah, but that's so Bulls though to have a terrible season, like have literally all of Chicago turn against them, and now they're like, just kidding.
Alana,
let's go.
They were so dysfunctional all year.
Yeah, that organization is literally the worst in the league.
I don't know. It's that Sacramento exists.
Whoa. The Knicks.
Knicks.
Listen. The
Bulls are like sneakily bad. They don't like do stuff that necessarily makes headlines, but like it's disgusting. Like the whole Garpack situation, the fact that they still have their jobs, I just don't understand.
Now we all know they suck, but it's like when you compare them to the Knicks, like they got rid of Noah. The Knicks signed Noah for four
True,
more
that
years.
Was like the first smart thing they've done in a while. That and the Derrick Rose.
Yeah, and
going down as the worst contract ever.
So they can't be they can't be worse than the Knicks when they actually made a smart move and the Knicks picked up their trash. Like, yeah, we'll take this.
Like, that's the Knicks move though.
Huh?
That's so Knicks.
Oh yeah, I mean they'll sign anybody, and I mean like there's no research. Like, what's your name, Joakim Noah? Yeah, here's like, $70 million.
If Ray Allen came out of retirement,
Joakim
tomorrow,
Noah hasn't been good since 2014.
Him.
Like, what were they thinking anyway?
They don't make any sense. Okay, Bulls Celtics though. So they're up 2-0, and I don't even think they. I thought last game they played well, but I don't think they've been particularly special. Celtics are just like ugh.
I mean, they're getting games out of guys that weren't giving them games before. Rondo's back to being good. D Wade had a good game.
Well,
they're getting production out of Felicio and Paul Zipser. Like, they weren't getting that during the season.
Yeah, Bobby Portis had a good game one too.
Bobby Portis too.
Yeah, but he owes OG that Bobby entire Portis. Game to Dwayne. Alpha and I were talking about it. Like, they'd run that pick and roll, and then Dwayne would get the second defender, and Bobby Portis is like doing the Udonis thing. I'm over here. Boom.
Hoiberg's a terrible coach, so I'm sure he just ran out of ideas at this point. I'm so anti-Hoiberg. It's ridiculous. I want to meet him on the street and just talk to him and have a word. Like, that's my, literally, every time I'm out, I'm just like, please let me bump into him. It's all I want. I don't even need to meet Ray. Like, let me just bump into Hoiberg.
What do you dislike about Hoiberg? What's the least thing?
He's a bad coach.
Yeah, he's just like, he doesn't understand that this isn't college basketball, and it drives me absolutely crazy.
Like, how?
He's been my favorite coach this playoffs, though.
Like, he just runs the same offense that he was running with, like, what, 18-year-olds in college, and he expects Wade to be running out there. Like, you can't do that. And fine, you had one season to figure it out. It's season two now. Like, you don't see that. I mean, Rondo's fast, and he can't even keep up half the time. He just drives me nuts. They don't respect him at all, either.
He has wins as Brad Stevens, though. So
he has as many playoff wins as Brad Stevens.
Have a soft part of my heart for Brad Stevens, though, because he was in the Horizon League when I worked with them, and he was a really nice guy. But I do, I mean, he's kind of sinking the ship right now. But
on Heat Beat, we make fun of Brad Stevens.
Two and ten.
Okay, can we make this? Okay, we found the name of the podcast. This episode's called 2 and 10.
But you know what it is? It's not even Brad Stevens' fault, really. We make fun of this idea that he's some just boy wonder genius. But man, that is a terrible roster. Like, that roster's like,
no. I think it's a good team. I just don't think they have enough.
No, they're the Boston.
No, they're garbage. I will agree with that.
Well, yeah, they're just not. It's poorly constructed. Like, that's not a playoff roster.
No.
Your best player is 5'9". Did you see what Jimmy Butler did? The absolute disrespect of when, like, in the fourth quarter, Isaiah Thomas is going in for a layup, and Jimmy Butler's like, are you kidding me, you midget? Like, no, you are not getting a layup. And he just swallowed his layup whole. And just, like, they just moved on. Like, it's a bad roster. It's like, yeah, you can get away with this crap in the regular season, but then you roll up and then, oh, Dwayne Wade, Jimmy Butler, and Rajon Rondo are there. And these guys know how to play in big games.
Robin Lopez.
And you're out there with Amir
Johnson. Yeah, Rolo is working, everyone.
I love Robin Lopez. Like, he's been on, like, a sneaky great contract for, like, 5 years.
I respect him. I just wish he would do something with that hair. But I can say that for a bunch of people. So
My
looks
mom,
like he needs Simpsons.
I don't pay him without the hair.
The Lopez by, in Spanish, calls him El Loquito Lopez, which is the crazy Lopez, which is Robin. And then she goes Lopez, which is Brooke. So crazy Lopez and Lopez.
Yeah, that, I mean, that's accurate.
Yeah, no. But he's been on such a, like, honestly, I would rather have him at that money than have Hassan.
Okay.
No, oh, but no. Listen to me.
We're having a nice conversation, and you say something stupid.
Because I think you get a lot of value out of his deal, and you're paying Hassan a lot of money. And I think in Spo's offense, Robin Lopez can do what Hassan does. Because you don't want Hassan.
No one can do what Hassan does. He's
like, just set picks and roll. Like, it's not complicated what a big guy has to do in Spo's offense.
He's different.
He is different. He's got that dirty left. Does Robin Lopez have the dirty left?
No.
I don't think so.
But he has funny hair that bounces.
Yeah.
That was a bad take. I'm sorry. I think I still stand by my take, although I'm not confident.
No. Go
away. Have you ever had a take that you're like not too confident about, but like you've thought it in your head for a while?
And you never say them. I don't say them on podcasts, so. I work them out of my head a little bit first.
Do you have any bad takes that you want to share?
Me personally?
Yeah, you have any like takes that you're scared of that, you know?
All my takes are fire as hell.
I've been so scared of saying that take forever.
Well, now I don't want to give my Blake Griffin take because Alana like just torched it.
I mean,
it.
I'll just sit here and roll my eyes. It's okay. Go ahead.
I'll tell Alana torch it, like, Blake Griffin take.
Right out the gate.
I'll say you've said it every show that you've been on for like the past month.
No, I'm done. Alana, now she has me second guessing.
How are you going to give Rookie of the Year to a sophomore who was around the organization?
Why are you so stuck on that?
That is so ridiculous to me.
That is so petty.
That
was like, 10 years ago.
He's going to get it for his third year.
Yeah, Embiid's going to get it
for his Joel Embiid, people are talking about he played 30 games in his third year. Like, yeah, give him Rookie of the Year.
He's going to win.
Griffin is also just a giant tool, so that doesn't help his case with me at all.
He
punch some staff member last season?
Yes.
Yeah,
he's a boy, though. It was his boy.
But he's a big meathead tool. He is kind of a tool.
Is he like NBA Gronk?
No, he's like the Brett Romberg.
Oh, Gronk's at least lovable. Griffin just leaves everything to be desired. He's just terrible. All those Kia commercials, too.
Oh, they're awful.
They're so bad.
We need to get him out of LA just because of that.
How does he get so
Derek
many
Rose
commercials?
Made better commercials.
No, actually, low key, Kyrie Irving makes funny commercials.
Yeah, I'll agree with that.
I like it. Like, the guys that get commercials are. I like the Westbrook commercials too. They're really funky.
I like the cat commercials with the Sasquatch.
Oh, yeah. I like him.
Actually, no, I don't. They're really bad. But
I like
him. I'm just happy Cat got a commercial. Like, 7-footers don't get commercials, so.
Blake Griffin.
And they had to put him next to a Sasquatch to make him look normal. That's pretty bad.
I used to like Dwayne's commercials. Remember the Gatorade one? The good.
Yeah,
and
those
the bad,
were good.
The good.
I bought all
Dwayne.
Those Gatorades. I literally have. I have a closet full of like his like freeze ones or whatever they're called. The Frost series.
The one that he did with Ice Gerben.
Yeah,
Iceman.
They're good.
I miss Dwayne. This fun commercial.
He's a terrible actor, though.
No, he's not that bad.
Oh, did you see Just Right?
No.
Okay, I think I'm the only one who saw Just Right.
Oh, no, that movie with Queen Latifah?
And Common?
Yeah, I saw that in theaters.
Whoa. The best is like Common's like, 5'8" and he's dunking.
Yeah, I don't remember the plot at all, but I literally saw
Isaiah
that like
Thomas?
Opening day.
Yeah, like you see him take off, the camera pans away, comes back, he's dunking. Like, all right. It's like, pick a tall dude. You know, that's why basketball movies are bad. Have I ever given this take?
I think you're going to give the same take I'm going to give.
Basketball movies are bad because there are no really good tall actors.
I think sports movies are bad in general.
Basketball movies are the worst classic. Because you can't find a good actor that's 6'8". Like, they can never make a movie about LeBron.
Basketball instead.
Exactly. Like, why would you be in a movie when you should be playing basketball? Like, how can they make LeBron's life story in a movie?
Did you guys not watch Trainwreck?
That Omari was a killed train it. Wreck. That was really the worst movie I've ever seen.
Omari killed in that movie.
I was so upset I paid
Suspension
money for that.
Of disbelief.
Omari is real? He was in that movie?
Yeah, him and LeBron were like co-stars.
Is Omari
LeBron was actually kind of funny in that movie.
Nah, man, that was like...
I'm going to let my petty
I think LeBron has delivery corny. I mean, like corny delivery. Delivery corny.
Corny? I think it was deliberately corny.
Okay, thanks. No,
somebody I don't know who it was on Twitter, one of those NBA bloggers, and he was saying how LeBron, Dwayne, and Kobe are like the corniest great athletes ever. He's right. Dwayne and LeBron are so corny.
I love that take.
It's so true.
Yeah, remember that the ESPN speech? Corny. Where they read like four bumper stickers out loud? The violence has to stop.
Yeah.
Oh, word? Oh my god! You just blew my mind. You mean like stop shooting people? Oh wow! You're so brave. You're so brave for this stance. The violence has to stop. Oh, word. Whoa. Move over, Martin Luther King. Here comes Dwayne Wade.
Stop the entire ESPYs for that speech.
Yeah, I was gonna say, didn't they do that?
He stopped the whole thing. They shut it down. They were so proud of themselves.
Oh, they were all black and they stood up there with their arms crossed, like, "Oh, we're about to drop some heavy crap right now." Yeah.
Did you see the funny? Because like, there's a
say no to drugs. All right.
There's a picture of the four of them lined up, and LeBron and CP3 are wearing black suits, white shirt, and Dwayne and Melo wearing black on black, and it. The caption was, wear black if you got a stripper pregnant.
Yeah,
I was like, oh, no.
Has that been confirmed, though? Like, do we
know? No, I don't know. We're just believing.
She has, like, a master's degree in social work. I'm serious. She has a master's degree.
Yeah.
That means she can't lie about this? What's your point there?
No, I'm just saying that she's not a stripper. She has a master's degree in social work. She's... I don't know if she's a thought or not. Like, listen.
Did you go Northwestern?
You can have a master's degree and still be a thought.
She got a master's at Northwestern? Good for her. I want a master's at Northwestern.
Jeez, impressed.
Jeez, that's expensive, man. It's private school.
She's like, good for Mello.
Damn. No, I'm good for her.
You found him a keeper.
No. Mello, dump Lala.
Lala's always been... Lala's kind of whack anyway, so...
Excuse me. Take that back. That's terrible.
Oh, come on.
What does Lala do? I don't know what she does.
She acts.
Acts poorly.
She has her own makeup line, doesn't she?
Yeah.
Is it a good makeup?
Someone else made up some makeup and put Lala's name on it. She was on 106 and Park.
Was she on 106 and Park?
Wasn't she?
She was
a DJ. Like, that's what she came up as a
DJ.
Yeah,
yeah. That's how they met on TRL, didn't they?
Something like that. She's one of those people like who introduced videos and said somebody's in the building and it's going down, and like, and that's all she ever said of any substance.
Big Tigger.
Yeah, but now she's an actress.
Yeah, she's Big Tigger with big something else.
That's a name, man. Oh my god, that's so 2004.
Okay, but her real name's Alani, which is close to my name, so by proxy, I just like her for that alone.
So yeah, Alani brings up a good point. Are we like, we're going off a TMZ report, right? Like, that's it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's going to be a paternity test, but
your TMZ is like pretty rock solid at this point.
Have we ever proven that was Dwayne's baby with the stripper?
Yeah, what happened to that?
I don't even know. It just went dead ass quiet. Wait. Thanks, guys.
No, Dwayne did have the baby.
I don't know.
He has pictures with the kid.
He has pictures with the kid.
Yeah, and his other two kids, his nephew and the kid on his shoulders.
Hashtag father first.
Wait, is that the other kid who's always on his snaps then?
Is a bit like a baby?
Is he white?
No.
No, he's light skinned. What are we doing? What is this, TMZ?
I don't know where we end up. I don't know why
I just went off on somebody on Twitter for like discussing all this stuff.
It's funny because like, we went from
they're like, Dwayne's a bad father. I'm like, have you met Dwayne? Like, have you seen him around his kids? Like, what do you mean? Like, what do you know about Dwayne Wade?
Yeah, where did that come from? His ex is crazy though.
Oh, she's the worst.
Oh, you're in Chicago. You know.
Like, I am.
That's why I was surprised that Dwayne went back there. I was like, you're going over there?
For a judge to give the father full custody is like really, I mean, the woman has to be nuts.
Yeah, she's off kilter.
Wouldn't she like come to Heat games and like threaten people and stuff?
Yeah, she was outside of the Birdo Center here with a sign about like how he doesn't pay her anything and how she's not leaving until she gets her money. Like, that's going to work out well.
That'll get you.
Yeah, like you're not gonna get arrested on the spot. Okay.
Alana, do you have to go or can you stay?
I do. I was gonna say
yeah, because I know it's time. Hey, thank you so much for coming on. We hope to have you on
thank
again.
Thank you
that
for
was a
having
lot of fun.
Me.
Come on the program again.
I'm sorry for my Blake Griffin take.
That's okay. You and the rest of the world are against me. It's okay.
Take care.
Don't wear the Larry Hughes jersey again.
Never.
I'm gonna go change into it right now.
I'm gonna throw popcorn at you.
Throw some popcorn.
Thank you.
All right. See you guys.
Have you on it. Bye.
Later.
I have breaking news.
What's your breaking news?
All right. So during 2016, Dwayne Wade fathered his son during a temporary split from his now fiance Gabrielle Union in 2016.
Gabrielle.
It's not breaking news.
That's breaking.
It's like old,
it's old news.
Gabrielle Union.
Old news.
Who the hell is Gabrielle Union?
Is that a guy?
Yeah, I think so. That now that's breaking news.
That's breaking news. A lot of things. If he split from Gabrielle Union,
Gabrielle Union.
That'd be news.
Oh.
I remember when the stripper came out. I was like, damn, Dwayne. I was going to a Panthers game. I was like, good for you. Thank you for letting that wallow in silence. Can always. Alf, what are you looking at, Alf?
No, Mr. Bill is telling us to tread lightly on our UD and Uptown Dale hate.
Where did this UD? Oh, that was Brass, right? Last show?
Brass. He just questioned, should UD have a roster spot?
Listen.
And I said he can't. He should have a roster spot, but when he's done, he could take over for Uptown Dale because Uptown Dale is terrible.
Listen, I want to separate myself from any bad things that Brass Jazz says about Udonis. I love UD.
He didn't say anything bad.
Okay, just clarifying for the listeners and for the Dash audience that I am not anti-Udonis. That is just Brass.
But you're anti-Tyler Johnson, right?
I am very anti-TJ.
So you're still on brand.
Yes. Is he going to cut his hair or what? Somebody should have asked Riley that.
I think someone asked that during exit interviews. I think he just said he had an appointment for a dentist.
It wasn't Anthony because he doesn't ask anything fun. Well, can we talk about how reporters were asking Riley Spo questions? Like, oh, how do you see them using so-and-so Winslow in the future? And I was like, doesn't matter what Riley thinks. Just hit something.
Yeah, I always find that funny. Like Riley's like, oh, when he was like, oh, Winslow's going to be a starting small forward. I'm like,
dog, you don't know that.
You have no idea if that's the. I mean, I honestly think Spo's at the point right now. If Riley came down, was like, start UD. He'd look at Riley and be like, yo, get the F out of my face. Like, we're not doing that. Crazy old man. Go drop your rings on the table. Get me Blake Griffin.
I have sound.
Word to Alana.
Do you guys want the sound?
Sure.
Yes, go get us some sound. Just take up some time.
Last July, you told us you're starting for that. What is he now in your mind? Is he still your starting three? And what did Richardson show you late after the injuries to make you conclude what he is long term?
I think both players give us the opportunity to move forward without being a lottery team every year to get better. Last year when Tyler and Justice and Josh came off the bench with Dwayne and Lou and Joe and, you know, all of those guys, they were like spark plugs. Anything they did was like, you know, over the top, was aha moment, you know. I mean, they were great energy. They dunk, they'd run, they'd defend. Josh got on this incredible three-point run at the end of the season. They had great experience going into the semifinals of the Eastern Conference playoffs. And so, you know, those two players are our future, are part of our future, a big part of our future. I will take exception with some of you here in the media, but it's your right because you're always in the numbers and looking at, you know, specific things, is that I've been around players like Justice Winslow, you know, for a long time. And he is more than a shooter. He's a player, he's a warrior, he's a defender. He's got tremendous energy, he cares about winning. He always tries to make winning plays. The guy had a tough, rough ride this year. He had the sprained wrist and played with it the entire time while he was we were going through struggles, separated his shoulder, had to have surgery.
Brian, stop it.
Brian, what are you doing? I'm telling you to kill the damn sound.
Like, everyone's like saying,
Brian, that was like 50 seconds.
I didn't for you guys to talk.
Why?
Talk over it.
I'm doing the cue to cut the damn sound on the video, and you continually play it.
Yo, okay, you guys want to know what's really bad? Okay, so Brian was waiting for one of us to talk over it. I was giving such a hot take, and I forgot to unmute my mic. So, like,
I saw was Alf, because I have, like, the big screen.
Brian was waiting for me to do exactly what he wanted me to do, but I didn't unmute my mic.
Jesus.
I wanted him to stop it right after he said, justice is not just a shooter.
No,
like,
that was
why
only
was that taken so poorly
long.
On Twitter the other day? Like, do people because not get what he was trying to say?
They put that quote by itself. They put that quote by itself, so it looks like he's saying that he's not just a shooter, that he's, like, basically implying that he's a shooter.
Because yeah, but even if I didn't hear the press conference, I'm not dense enough to think that Riley thinks that Justice Winslow is Klay Thompson. Like, you have to be really dense or just want to give a hot take about Justice's shooting to actually, like, to think that he was trying to say that, oh, he's not just a great shooter, he's also this. He was trying to say that that's not, like, stop focusing so much on his shooting and focus on everything else he does on the court, which we've been championing for a minute here.
I want to get back to Brian not doing his job.
No, he was no. That was not Brian's fault.
Yes, it was. Why would you? What would possess you to play a sound that long?
I mean, they do it all day on the radio.
Huh?
It's Pat Riley.
But I don't care. That was way too long, and he didn't say anything. You should have, like, started it halfway in.
It
like
was 2 minutes.
That's, Brian, 2 minutes is long.
That's on you.
No, that's on you. Like, a sound bite is a sound bite.
I blame myself for that.
Never mind. I'm broadcasting the damn press conference again.
I mean, didn't 790 do the entire press conference yesterday?
Yeah, that's fine when you broadcast the press conference.
Might as well. They did it again on every one of their shows.
We played 2 minutes out of a 47-minute press conference.
Okay, but like the way that sound bites, when you quote, when you're writing a story, you quote somebody, you don't block quote the whole damn thing. You do two sentences.
I mean, that's why people thought Pat Riley was saying that this is a shooter.
I'm so mad at you.
This
is such a good show. You know,
it's your fault. Just admit it.
We were having so much fun. We were laughing. We were having fun. And Brian has to come with a 2-minute damn audio clip.
We had a girl on.
Yo, get out of here. It was fun until you shared your Robin Lopez take.
Yeah, that Robin Lopez.
No, hold on. Wait a second. Last podcast, I said a correct thing about McRoberts' option, and Alf, Leif, and Braz laughed at me like, we'd be jumping in the streets if he had an option.
No, there's no way he has an option.
He does have an option.
He does. And they made fun of me for because I said,
no, you know what the worst part of me, first of all, you're so excited because on one podcast, how many podcasts have we had? 111 or something at this point?
This is our 117th, right?
Okay. And on one podcast, you finally made a good point.
Yeah, but you
right?
guys are so mean to me.
Congratulations. Anyway, the worst part about that is I made a point on an earlier podcast when someone asked me, do you think McBob will opt in? Because obviously he has a player option. And I was like, of course he's going to opt in. Because he's going to steal more money for another year. So I knew he had a player option, but for some reason, the urge to make fun of you was more important than the urge to be right.
Yeah, okay. Oh, speaking of making fun of people, did you guys see that stat I tweeted earlier about the Celtics draft? Okay,
yeah.
So I'm gonna read it for the audience because this is really funny. Because we talk about is Danny Ainge acquiring assets and this process Twitter nonsense of the process. Danny Ainge, the Celtics, they've done so much. And you remember last draft, everyone was raving, "Oh my God, Boston has 8 picks in this draft. Look, they're gonna do so much with these 8 picks." Their number.
Yo, they had like 3 drafting stashes in the first round.
Yeah. So of their 8 picks, 4 of them never played a minute in the NBA. 2 of those were in the first round. So they picked 2 guys in the first round that never played. Another of the guys played 17 minutes in the NBA, and another one played 10. So four of them never played. Two of them played under 20 minutes for the entire season.
They forgot that an NBA team doesn't have 20 roster spots.
They hit on 2 out of 8 picks. And one of them is not they hit on that that Brown guy.
Daniel Brown.
Yeah, that was the only one, because the other one, what is it, Rozier?
Rozier was the year before. He was the Justice draft.
I don't even know the other guy that they got.
Gabbert, what is it, Gabbershon?
Okay, Yabusuele. Who cares? That loser. So
French dude.
Like, for all that talk of process and acquiring picks, it amounted to nothing.
Well, they tried to unload all those picks, right? But nobody wanted it.
We talked about it. Who would want, because they wanted Winslow or whatever. Like, who wants that garbage?
I mean, it's not necessarily garbage, but like,
Alf, that, here's Alf, the thing. What they got was garbage. They had a haul of
picks. The problem is on draft night, when the reality of like what's happening to a lot of these teams hit them, like on draft night, they're looking at the players on the board and it's not as appealing. When you have all these picks, that's when you like package them with another player. Like, I'm gonna give you this player plus 3 picks, and that, like, you can't just on draft night say I'm gonna give you 6 picks.
I know. Like,
on draft night is like the stunning realization. Like half of these dudes are gonna be busts. The other 25% are gonna be low level role players. 15% of them are going to be decent role players, and maybe 10% might be a star/superstar.
Can a listener?
Do you see that math? Telling you, it was spot on.
Can a listener? Okay, listener, somebody.
We'll I said 50%, 25%, 15%, and 10%.
If somebody does this, we'll
that's 100%.
We'll reward you with something. If a listener does that, we'll think of something.
With a T-shirt. We'll give you a T-shirt.
We'll give you a T-shirt. If somebody,
I just said it though. It's obvious. It's 100%. Anyway. Okay.
Regardless,
the realization of what the draft is on draft night, like that, it's hard to make that. It's hard to make those trades on draft night.
Yeah, but it's like, but it's what we've been saying. It's like you acquire all these things that nobody wants, because if they don't move them, like they didn't move them at the trade deadline, those picks will never have more value than at the trade deadline, right? Like, they can get the most for the least on
exactly.
They'll never get an opportunity to get Paul George or Jimmy Butler at that price, right? Because, like you said, on draft night, the picks just they get devalued. They're like a car. Like,
but I think they get devalued after the picks are made.
Clearly not. I mean, like, they've been trying to get rid of picks on draft night forever. Nobody wants them, and now when people wanted picks, they didn't do it. It's just weird. It's like, I can understand that. Yeah, listen, it's a good process, like to acquire assets, but you have to do something with them.
No, the Celtics have up until the point of making the transaction, the Celtics have a fantastic process.
Yes.
The problem is at the point of the transaction, their unwillingness to let go of these assets is their downfall.
They have
you have to have the Riley sized balls to pull the trigger. So when Riley sees Goran Dragic become available and he has some first round picks, Riley's like, take this crap. I need Goran Dragic on my team because I have Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh and my window's closing, right? That's the problem with Ainge. Like, at the trade deadline, he had this freaking trump card in his hand. Was going to turn out to maybe be the number one pick, at worst be the number four pick. And what did he do with it? He sat on it. And I also do blame some of these other teams, like the Pacers, where, you know, they started asking for everything and their mother for Paul George. Like, listen, Paul George doesn't even want to be there. Like, go ahead and get yourself the number one draft pick to put alongside Miles Turner. And maybe build yourself something in a few years. But, you know, that's the problem with these assets. Like, if you're not willing to pull the trigger, if you're not gambling Pat Riley out there, like, just ready to blow everything up to make a champion, the assets don't matter.
It's, and by the way, they have an aging point guard, right? So them, the top picks on the board are going to be point guards, right? So, like, they're going to have a decision to make. You don't just draft Lonzo Ball to play him 15, 20 minutes a game. You know what I mean? Like,
he's going to be insurance. He's going to serve as insurance because they're basically set at every position. No guy.
You think
that
guy is going to want to be there as insurance with his father?
No. The thing is,
it's going to be a nightmare.
Any one of those point guards that they get, whether it's Lonzo, whether it's Markel, they're going to serve as insurance probably for a year or two before they end up trying to unload Isaiah before he gets too old, I think.
But, I mean, you're not going to – I think it's
And then
pretty,
by that time, they're more developed because, you know, point guards that are
okay,
rookies are horrible.
Fine, and I understand that, but I think it's pretty fairly clear that they're not a contender. Like, they're not –
For a championship?
Not,
no.
They're not good enough. And it's not that they're
But if they trade
they're
for
not
Jimmy Butler or
a
Paul
Hassan
George,
away,
it's a
right?
Story.
Like, they're significant. They're, like, maybe two pieces away from being championship ready. You know what I mean? Like,
no, that team with Hassan in the middle would be scary as hell right now.
I disagree with that take.
I don't know, man. I don't know
you
how.
You would good, disagree with that take.
Of course I do. Could you imagine playing Al Horford at the four in this NBA? Like, he's too slow for that. I don't want to be invested in both of those guys.
Agreed.
Every time you'd rather have Hassan over Horford for that team, that's a different story. But trading for Hassan with Horford under contract for like 125 mil, like, I'm not paying 250 mil combined for two centers.
And you just create, you don't create as much space for Isaiah, and that's why he's able to finish what he finished.
I mean, Horford can hang out on the 3-point line because he's worthless anywhere else anyway. But I do think that Hassan and Horford could play very well together. I think you guys this whole today's NBA crap that you guys spew.
Alfie wasn't crap. His defensive numbers at one point in the year were some of the worst in the league.
Who?
Horford.
Because he doesn't have a real big man next to him. Like,
Alfie
he's
is
not
a big
man.
He's
no, he is not. That is a problem.
Alfie
he is not a big man. Like, he can't rebound. And Robin Lopez is eating his lunch. Stop calling him a big man.
Yeah, but he's out there on the floor stumbling around like a big man. Like, he's just as slow as one. You can't play two centers bumbling around.
He has cement feet, Alf.
Horford is just as quick and as fast as Chris Bosh. Even faster.
Alf.
No.
Alf.
Are you serious?
Yes.
No, are you serious?
You're trying to tell me he doesn't get up and down the floor as quickly or faster.
I like
how
Horford.
Alf,
Chris
he's
Bosh
a good player,
is,
but like,
is pretty quick.
Not
the way that Bosh and Whiteside were playing towards the end of the second blood clot. Like, how well they were playing together is how well Horford and Hassan could play together.
Bosh is also a better pick and roll defender. That matters.
Bosh is special in the pick and roll. His ability to rotate and hard trap.
Yeah, but,
Horford is not
but
nimble.
Bosh was not when Hassan and Bosh were on the floor together. Bosh was not involved in as many pick and rolls as he was when he was on the floor with Shane Battier.
No, yeah,
you're right.
I'm agreeing.
Yeah, it's not as important. And you switch your entire approach to pick and rolls when Hassan is your center and when Bosh is your center.
They were not
right?
great. The great defensive pairing on those teams was McBob and Bosh, not Hassan and Bosh. That was not a great defensive tandem.
We saw at the end of the second year with Bosh and Hassan that they started to play well together. And what happened? Bosh got blood clots. They started to figure it out, man. Like, you can figure it out. Also, Horford does not command the ball offensively 50% as much as Bosh does.
I think Horford as a secondary playmaker on a team like that, I think that'd be better. But I don't think you can play him as a big man if you're putting him next to Hassan. I think you use Hassan as like a pick and roll big.
You put him out there on the perimeter.
You put him on the perimeter and he can handle as a second or third playmaker.
You pair him with someone like Millsap or Bosh, not with Hassan.
No, you're already doing that.
Alfie has to play center. He cannot play power forward.
No, he does not.
Alfie can't guard LeBron. If LeBron is out there, he cannot guard him. That's why nobody does that.
He
has to play five.
You make changes.
But Alfie, all the good teams have a guy that plays a small ball four.
Okay, but Johnny, he can play the small ball four almost because he
not
can
on defense.
Stand out there and shoot.
Alf, you put him on an island with LeBron and, with Jimmy Butler or
so. Wait. So you're telling me me the Spurs can't play Powell and Aldridge together?
Aldridge is elite perimeter defending.
Like, what are you guys talking about?
They have elite both perimeter of, huh? defending.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they have Kawhi Leonard as their
it's a little
anchor.
Different.
But you're trying to tell me that Horford can't play the four position on defense. LaMarcus Aldridge does it all day long. So you're wrong.
He's quicker than he is. He's not the same.
You're trying to tell me LaMarcus Aldridge is that much quicker than Horford?
Yeah.
Like, get out of my face with that nonsense. Like, honestly, you're just making stuff up to reinforce your point. Like, do not tell me LaMarcus Aldridge is a goddamn speedster compared to Horford. And he's not the Flash. Like, he can shoot over anybody. Yeah, like, listen.
Him and Powell will shoot over anybody.
The biggest problem with Horford on that team is they don't have a good rebounder, like, at any position. So when the Heat were the big three Heat, they had plus rebounders in other places. Dwayne was a good rebounder for a guard. LeBron was an elite rebounder. Like,
and they still got crushed on the board. But they had elite offensive talent.
But the Celtics have a good offense. The Celtics shoot a lot of threes. And the Celtics have a lot of free
throws. Celtics do not have elite offensive talent when it comes to the playoffs. They do not. They have one guy that can create his own shot. One guy.
No, you're right. The offense is not as good.
Don't tell me it's the same thing.
No, but what Boston needs
is a presence in the middle to snatch some of these offensive rebounds out of Robin Lopez's hands. They need somebody to protect the rim because they have poor perimeter defense. Right,
and
you guys are trying to tell me that there's no way that this could work because Al Horford, what Al Horford needs his shots.
Like, dude, just look at Kevin Love playing with Mozgov.
Huh?
That's what it is. Like, just think, just basically compared to
that bad.
No. But I'm saying, like, it's that kind of concept. It's the concept of having two slow, bumbling big men around. Big men playing on the same lineup. The same. It didn't work with Mozgov.
The way that you guys are acting, the way you guys are acting like that. Horford is just a bumbling, like, you're acting like he's Al Jefferson. Like, you guys are really acting like he's Al Jefferson.
Hold on, wait a second. I want to pause for a second. This is the most serious sports debate I think we've ever had on this show.
God, it's getting on my nerves. Like, you guys,
you're yelling at each other, call each other liars.
I'm never wrong.
Hard network out.
Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. Soon you'll have a separate fridge in the basement, where extra groceries are exiled forever. Remember that frozen lasagna? Of course you don't. It's been down there since 2008. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance. Piece of cake. Behind the lasagna. It's very old. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.